Welcome to the Thriving Birth Worker Podcast, a space for conversations about how you, the birth worker, can create not only a fulfilling and sustainable career, but a joyful and thriving life. I'm Erin Underwood, an educator, movement specialist, mother of four boys, and a total anatomy nerd. My passion is to see birth workers encouraged, supported, and empowered in their careers and life. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Erin, and this is episode one of the Thriving Birth Worker Podcast. And today we're going to be talking about my why and why I'm launching this podcast and a little bit about my history. So let's get to it. I am so excited and nervous and excited. So my background is in movement and teaching movement to prenatal and postnatal women. And then I've recently moved into working with birth workers. So before that, way back in the day, I grew up doing gymnastics and coaching swim team. And so movement, I've been doing this for, guys, this is going to date me, but I've been doing this for about 20 years since I was 15. I've been coaching or teaching some form of movement. I love moving my body, and the idea of sitting behind a desk is not my idea of fun. And so when I realized I could move and work at the same time, I jumped on it. And that's how I paid my way through college. And that is what I've been doing ever since. So I was a mover. I went to the gym. I did it all. And then I had babies. I had baby after baby. I had four babies in 5.5 years. So my youngest was a newborn, and my oldest of the four was 5.5 when he was born. So wasn't going to the gym anymore, wasn't working out anymore, and I wasn't teaching at the time because I was just knee-deep in motherhood, and my body broke. Man, it was rough. I had diastasis recti, which is that separation of the rectus abdominis muscles, where your linea alba is basically that connective tissue is what is holding your organs in and not your muscles anymore. I had grade 2 rectocele systocele prolapse, so pelvic organ prolapse. And I had chronic SI joint pain. I had chronic neck headaches and neck tension. I had just, I felt like my body was falling apart. And what resources I had available to me were very discouraging. I went to my OBGYN and she just looked at me funny, like, well, you're a mom, so of course you have body issues. And she shrugged and said, well, you could get surgery for the prolapse. So my doctor said I could get the surgery, and it just didn't sit well with me. I knew I didn't want to go that route at 30 years old. I wasn't ready to go under the knife. And so I just remember being so depressed and so sad. And so I was in the fetal position. I was crying. I was upset for several weeks. It's really interesting, the psychology around pelvic organ prolapse and how deeply emotional of an injury it is. It's really connected to who we are. And so it's not just like, oh, I broke my arm. There's this deep emotional connection to it. And so I was like in the depression zone with that one and the diastasis, all of it. And so I went on this research spree. I am a researcher. If there is a problem, I will figure it out. And so I just thank God for Google. That was my educator at that point in time. I just Googled and Googled and Googled, and I stumbled across an article from Katie Bowman, and it was cute and sarcastic. The title was "You Don't Know Squat," and that caught my attention because I was like, who is this woman and who is she to tell me I don't know squat? And when I read the article, it was basically breaking down the squat, and she was just being funny. But when I followed her work, I realized this is the piece of understanding that I have been missing. It was a cultural piece. It was a biomechanical alignment piece and it was a lifestyle piece. It was a lot of these pieces that I had been missing. And so I started feeling hope. And I just went on a journey, and through her, I found a lot of other teachers and different modalities, and I kind of pieced together this healing journey for myself. And from that moment, when I read Katie's article, to 18 months later, I had healed from all of my chronic issues. I had healed from my prolapse. I have been checked out by my doctors. I have no more prolapse. I have my diastasis is completely closed. I have my SI joint stuff. Like, if it flares up occasionally, I can feel it coming on and I know exactly what to do. And that is what I get excited about. It's not that, oh, I'm fixed and I'm perfect and I don't have any physical issues. It's I know what to do when my body starts to feel pain. And I think there's this ideology sometimes in the movement world where if you're doing it right, you won't experience any pain. If you're doing the right exercises, if you're stretching the right way, if you're doing it the right amount of time, then what you're doing is working. And if you experience any amount of pain, then somehow your ideology is flawed. And what I get really excited about is for people to become the professionals of their own body. They know their own habits. They know what movements help correct those and help make a more balanced approach as far as in their own movement, nutritious diet. They know, like, oh, okay, I tend to avoid these movements. So I need to intentionally add a few arm raises, intentionally add a little bit of upper body strength, intentionally move my pelvis in more ways than one or two ways. And that brings balance and strength. And so I got super fired up and I realized this is what I want to do when I'm a grown up. I figured it out when I was 30. And so I did tons of trainings. So I've certified through Katie Bowman's Nutritious Movement. I have certified through Lauren O'Hagan. She has an awesome pelvic floor and core specific program called Restore Your Core. And so she has a teacher training. So I'm a certified Restore Your Core teacher. I have certified as a yoga teacher. I mean, I've done a lot of trainings that are I get really drawn into and connect really well with trainings that are heavily anatomy based and connect to that biomechanical understanding of movement. That just gets me really excited. So I've done quite a few trainings along that realm. So I've been working recently, the last several years, with the prenatal postnatal community here in I live outside of Portland, Oregon. So in Oregon City, if anyone knows where that is, but it's about 30 minutes south of Portland. And it's a lovely little community and I love my people and I love my clients and they're just the most special group that I love to hang out with and connect with on a weekly basis. And as I've been doing this work, I have seen some holes in the system that I get passionate about filling. And so part of my journey has been continued education. I love learning and I have a special budget in my business where continued education, because it's such an important piece of the puzzle for me. I don't want to draw on knowledge that I learned 10 years ago. I'm continually drawing on new knowledge and new articles that I've read and new workshops that I've attended. So this last summer, I went to Katie Bowman's pregnancy ecology workshop, which was fabulous. It was 2 days of really hands-on, but also really practical and getting into the nitty-gritty of pregnant bodies and movement. And it was for all kinds of birth workers. It wasn't necessarily limited to teachers of movement. It was really spread out to whoever felt they wanted to learn more about movement and pregnancy. But there was midwives and there was chiropractors and there was some prenatal yoga teachers, and just it was a really fun group with varied callings. And immediately following this workshop, where I'm kind of get this adrenaline high and get all excited about prenatal work and supporting this community, the next week, I am one of my friends. She had asked me to participate as a doula at her birth. And I am not, I don't doula on a regular basis. I basically only do it for people I really, really love because of where I'm at in my life right now, specifically with my children, that the life of being on call, it is hard. And I deeply respect every single woman and practitioner who chooses that lifestyle and chooses to serve through that lifestyle, because it is a massive undertaking and it's a massive sacrifice a lot of the time. And so I haven't taken that on right now. I could definitely see myself doing more of that work as my kids get a little bit older. But I did participate in this birth with my friend, and it was a longer labor. She probably between around 40 hours, I would guess, of being in labor. So there was some, she stalled out a few times. So we went out and I went home and then I went back, and it was a longer process. And I loved being able to connect with the other birth workers in the room. I loved watching her and her process. And it was very empowering to be in that space and to be serving my friend, but also be able to make choices about how I was carrying my body so that I knew I wouldn't be experiencing pain later that day or the next day. My areas that I need to be very aware of are my, especially my lower back and my sacroiliac joint, that can become cranky very easily. I can get upper jaw and neck tension. I can clench if I'm not paying attention, my jaw, when I am very focused. And so I felt myself through, while I was doing counter pressure with her and while I was helping her change positions and while I was sitting next to her in the birthing tub, as I was able to support her, I was able to make these choices in my body based off of my education, and a light bulb came on. I realized how physical of a job being a birth worker is. It is extremely physical. And even the birth photographer who was at that birth with me, she knows what I do. And she leaned over just a few hours into the birth and she asked me my opinion on what she could do to support her lower back, because she said, oh man, you know, I can feel it coming on already and it's probably going to be bugging me later. And I just leaned over and I whispered a couple tweaks to her. And when we were going home, it was, of course, you know, 5 a.m, we're driving home, and I carpooled with her, and she leaned over to me and she says, my back feels great. Thank you so much. She was just shocked. She's like, I know if you hadn't given me those couple pointers, my back would be killing me right now. Like, I know my body and I know how it would respond. Thank you. And so that is what gets me excited. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning, is to see people be empowered through a little bit of education, a little bit of mindfulness, a few tweaks here or there, and to experience less pain in their body and more joy, and to be able to be more present in their work. So that is where I've moved into supporting the local birth worker community in my area outside of just the prenatal and postnatal community. So I have a friend, Shauna, who is amazing, and she is been a prenatal yoga teacher for 20 years and has studied under everyone in the sun. She's certified as a midwife. She certified as a naturopath. Like, she just is overqualified and one of my favorite people to work with. And so she and I have teamed up in the Portland area and are now currently offering quarterly self-care for birth worker weekends, little workshops, a couple hours on the weekend. And they've been so fun. We've really enjoyed them and been able to help connect with and support our local birth worker community. And in that process of launching those workshops and connecting with the birth workers, I am seeing this lack of importance placed on the actual birth work community and the lack of support that is in place for the birth workers themselves. So I did some research and, you know, with statistics, honestly, who knows? I understand that with statistics, you can pretty much make the numbers say whatever you want, depending on how you ask them. But one of the statistics I read was that 32% of midwives are ready to quit the profession. They are stressed out of their mind and they feel unsupported. And I don't know how accurate that specific number is, but I do know that the birth worker profession it can be stressful and it can be hard on your body and it can feel isolating. And there is a lot of sacrifice that goes into this profession, no matter what role you play, that often goes unnoticed. And even I was looking for a quote like to put on my Instagram leading up to one of my workshops about birth workers or midwives or something. And so I was researching and there weren't a whole lot out there. And one of them that just kept popping up over and over again was midwives don't do the work. The mother does the work and we're just there to witness. And that's such a beautiful sentiment. It is so powerful to empower these birthing women in their process and to allow them ownership of their journey and ownership of the whole process of giving birth, and that we as the birth working community shouldn't be overly interfering, that we should be there to support and encourage. But on the flip side of that coin, there is this subtle messaging that implies that the birth worker community doesn't do a whole lot. That it's just the moms and we're there to watch and intervene if there's a problem. And that juxtaposition of messaging has never set well with my heart, because I, as a mother who has given birth 4 times, when I look back over my birthing stories, my birth workers were so impactful. Every single one. I've had 2 hospital deliveries, epidurals, inductions with very traditional American process. And then I've had 2 home births with midwives, the water birthing tub, the whole thing. So I haven't experienced a C-section. I have experienced a wide range of birth experiences along with different birth workers that I've interacted with. And all of them have been so special and so dear to my heart. And those midwives, oh, I've just bonded so closely to them. It's been years and years and years for a couple of my births, and I still am Facebook friends and interact with them and am so bonded with them. And I just remember one of my labor and delivery nurses in the model of at the hospital I was at, the labor and delivery nurses worked 12-hour shifts. And so she'd been with me for 12 hours and I wound up giving birth about an hour after her shift would have ended. And she stayed an hour after her 12-hour shift. So she stayed for 13 hours that day because she wanted to be with me while I was giving birth. She'd been with me all day leading up to it. She could tell that I was in transition. We were ready to do this thing. Baby was ready to come. And she looked at me and said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be here for you. And I was so deeply impacted by her commitment to me and by her desire to support me in a situation where I would not have been upset or offended and been totally understanding of your shift is over. You have every right and you should probably go home and go to bed. And she stayed for me. So it was a pretty special experience. I can go on and on about all these different interactions with birth workers that I've had, but those are so powerful. And every single one of the women, if you think of everyone who gives birth, they have an interaction, whether it's positive or negative, that deeply impacts them with birth workers. And so my goal is to say, that I want to support this community and I want to connect this community and I want to see this community be inspired and empowered. And so my passion is to create this space for conversations where we can hear from other professionals, share about their powerful work, and create a community for resources, and that we can cheer each other on in this work. That would be my goal. And that is why we're here. So to get you started on your movement journey to supporting your own body, since that is my specialty and what I get out of bed in the morning to do and what I get excited about, is I created a downloadable PDF for you, Strong Backs for Birth Workers. And this PDF walks you through 4 ways that you can make little postural shifts using my biomechanical lens, and I make it super practical and implementable for you right now. And one of the tweaks is the ones I gave to my friend who was the birth photographer at that birth. So I'm not going to leave you hanging and not tell you what I told her. This is one of the tips I gave her, is on this PDF. And just even if you look at one of the shifts, specifically how we sit, this one shift that is on this PDF, I see makes the biggest impact in a ton of my clients. And they go from having back pain to their back pain being dissipated, sometimes overnight. So it's really powerful information. So you can find this at thrivingbirthworker.com/strongback. So that is where you can go to find your copy today. So thrivingbirthworker.com/strongback. So I am so grateful that you've joined me on this journey. If you want to stay in the loop and find us on Instagram or Facebook, we're at Thriving Birth Worker everywhere. And if you want to be podcast friends and hear some amazing conversations that are coming up with some amazing minds, go ahead and hit subscribe to stay in the loop every time a new episode drops. I hope you have a fabulous day, and I'm sending lots of love and light your way. The information and discussion provided on this podcast are not intended and should not be construed as medical advice. If you have a medical concern, you should consult with an appropriately licensed physician or healthcare provider.